like, I would recommend it to everyone, literally, to have like this moment of complete digital media silence. But basically what I came up with during the trip was this concept of digitalize. And digitalize is not digitalize, obviously, but it's the opposite. So it's to be less involved with digital communication, but not radically detoxing.
Welcome to this new Grow Tribute podcast episode. This time I'm going to be talking to Rosanna Funny about digital detox and digitalization. So, funny story and very interesting story, I would say. Rosanna has been on a sailing trip of 17 days crossing the Atlantic Ocean, which is an experience in itself, of course. But during those 17 days, she didn't have access to anything digital. So, no devices and no internet. Doesn't that sound scary? Well, she found it very interesting and she got many new insights about, well, who she is and how to handle digital and how to be connected and how to disconnect meaningfully. And today in this episode, we will discuss what it is to do a digital detox. So going without digital whatsoever for a few days or a few hours. But she will also coin a new term called digitalize, where you digitally consciously unwind and actually take some of your digital usage to a lower level in order to actually see what it does to be offline. Very interesting, I think very, very relevant for many of us at this point in time where we're super, super interconnected. And I think we can learn lots from her experiences on a sailing trip. In this episode, she will share a lot of her experiences, but also practical tips on how she actually does her digitalization and how she would advise you to digitally connect when you think it's relevant and how to disconnect from digital and actually go offline and find your well-being in doing so. Anyway, very interesting story. I'm very much looking forward to this episode interview and please enjoy. All right. Welcome, Rosanna. Thank you for being here and sharing your story with us.
So nice to be with you today. I'm super, super happy that you invited me.
Thank Great. You. Awesome. I'm really looking forward to hearing more about your story because we, of course, already talked about your cool experiences on the sea, actually on the ocean, to be correct. And I'm just very amazed by how you do that. Being on a sailing boat 17 days, I think that's like a massive accomplishment in the first place. How was that for you?
Yeah, I mean, it's actually not really an accomplishment. I think a lot of people were asking me about it. I think it's just my own experience that I was thinking about doing already for such a long time because I started sailing when I was 16 and I really, really enjoy it, but I didn't have a lot of sailing experience.
Okay.
And then I finished my term abroad in the US. Yeah, I just decided to come back to Europe by sailing boat. So essentially, I linked up with a Dutch couple that has a sailing boat and they actually live on this boat for already 10 years. Crazy, right? I mean, living on a boat.
That's a dream. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And so they live on this boat already for 10 years. And for the last 4 years, they were sailing across the Atlantic coast, basically the US coast. And now they returned to Europe and they had one spot free and I took the spot. So I was on the Atlantic for essentially 17 days.
17, right?
17 days, exactly. It took us 17 days to sail from Virginia to the Azores, which is a small island on the coast of Portugal, still in the Atlantic. And basically, yeah, for 17 days, we were on the ocean, and it was such a fantastic time. Very calm, actually, because obviously on the ocean, there's nothing else. I mean, you see sometimes other boats, but normally you're just really on your own. Also, obviously, we as a crew, we acted well together. We were all perfectly fine. And we had bad weather. We had good weather. We had no wind at all. So we had the motor. But yeah, I think we had a great time all in all. Yeah, the exciting time for me was also to have a little self-experiment because obviously, on the Atlantic, there's not a Wi-Fi router or some mast that you can just get your internet or get a phone connection from. The self-experience was also to be offline for 17 days.
I think, wow, we're going to learn much about how that was for you in this episode. So curious to hear all the details. Can you share, like, because you didn't have internet and you didn't use any, I guess, devices, and you couldn't really talk to other people than the other two on the boat, what did your day look like those 17 days?
Of course. So our day looked quite similar every day, because obviously when you're on a sailboat, you cannot just stop and put the anchor out, because you have several kilometers until the ground, basically. So you cannot just stop. So we were sailing all the time, and thus we had night shifts. So my night shift was basically our night watches, and my night watch was from 3 to 6 a.m. in the morning. So I got up at 3 a.m. every day, and we were all quite tired, to be honest, during the day.
Wow,
so we had naps in between. Yeah, exactly. But basically, when I got up, we had breakfast. We just spoke about, like, how the night was and how the weather was. And we also got a daily email with the weather updates, which was really nice. So there was always something that we would look forward to, and then we would discuss how our route would be. Yeah, then I worked a little bit on my master's thesis, because I'm currently also writing my thesis. And that actually worked, I have to say, super well.
Yeah.
Because you're not distracted by nothing. You don't have your phone, you don't have emails, you don't have internet. And also, Tineke and Herbert, the couple that I was sailing, they were reading, and they were listening to audiobooks and just speaking and just sleeping and really chill. So I had a lot of free time, actually, during the day, which you wouldn't imagine. Also because the boat was more or less steering on its own, so you didn't have to so often adjust the sails.
Yeah,
exactly. And then in the afternoon, then we had lunch, basically. Then in the afternoon, we would mostly look at our route and see what we could adjust. And then we cooked. Actually, cooking took quite some time, because when we had weather, the boat goes like this, or like this, and like this, and like this. And you cannot just... Even if you have, like, you have to cut an onion or something, it's extremely challenging, because everything moves all the time.
Oh, my gosh.
You cannot just, you have to hold everything. And also the walk took some time. But eventually it was really, like, back to the roots, as you would say. A really simple life, and where really the core parts of the day were the meals. And, just being outside, being in the sun, or... inside when I was free. But this was basically also a great, I think, learning outcome, in the sense that I really appreciate much more now when I go, I don't know, to a shop or something. We could just not get groceries while on the way. So we just obviously had to cook what was there, and we had to be a little creative. And it's just to get to appreciate the simple things so much more. I mean, already a kitchen that is not moving all the time is really nice.
Insane. So you're happy to be, like, on solid ground and actually be able to, like, choose what kind of dinner you want to have whatever day of the week, instead of just working with what you have, basically, right?
Yeah, but also, for example, if I would want to read a book or just do something else, it was really nice, because I just went for reading a book and no one would disturb me, not even my phone or a neighbor that comes. It's also really when you're I think when you're on a boat, you really realize how much you have ownership over what you do, versus when you're here and when everything is moving and you're at work and you see friends. You kind of are in a flow, let's say, but on the boat, you really, everything is like limited. So you're creating the flow if you would want to create a flow. And if not, that's fine as well. Then you just lie down and sleep. No one will disturb you. So that was really nice.
Insane. Very interesting to hear how that was for you. So sailing was just a one-time, at least for now, it's like a one-time thing that you just did. What are you normally up to? You're writing your thesis, right? What's that thesis about?
So I'm in the last semester of my master's in digital communication leadership, which is an Erasmus Mundus master program. And I'm currently finishing up my thesis on the concept of ethical and unethical artificial intelligence in the European Union. Okay. So it's kind of really in-depth policies analysis, really heavy piece on how the EU sees its own AI strategy and what the EU defines as ethical and unethical AI. But apart from that, I'm also volunteering for the European AI Initiative, CLARE Initiative, And I'm based in Brussels normally, and I will also go back to Brussels in September. So I'm really looking forward to that. Apart from that, I, and this was also actually a challenge on the boat. I'm really super much, so much into sports, especially triathlon sports. So I love running, I go running every morning. I love swimming, and I also go by bike everywhere basically. And on the boat, I couldn't do it.
There was no sports options there.
Yeah, for me, it was super challenging. Obviously, for Tinek and Herbert, they're not really used to doing a lot of sports. For them, it was completely fine. But I, in the evening and in the morning, I tried to do some exercise, and it really, it didn't satisfy me. So that was also something that I really was missing actually on the boat. Wow. But this is what I get to appreciate now even more. Just going out of the, out of the flat, just going for a run is so normal for everyone, but actually it's just not. Apart from that, I'm also editing sometimes freelance journalistic articles. Yeah, let's see what's coming next, what the next challenge in Brussels will be after my master's. So that's not yet decided, but it will for sure be something in EU, in the EU bubble, and technology.
Yeah, I was about to say, that's like the nicest bridge we could get, because digital, right? Digital communication and working on that policy. This episode is mostly going to be about a deep dive into how you manage without digital, but then also about your coined concept of digitalize. Tell us more about what it means to digitalize versus a digital detox, because I think a lot of people know what that would mean, just going without digital altogether. What is digitalize?
Funny, because you just said it, right? Digital detox, that's exactly what I've been doing. And in the beginning, when I was thinking about sailing and then deciding eventually that I would go, obviously in the beginning, I was like a super challenge for me, because I thought, oh my God, being offline for 17 days is just impossible, right? I mean, it's just 17 days, we wouldn't even know how long it took. It could have also taken even longer. So that was a real big challenge in the beginning, to just take this decision and say, well, I'm going to be offline. And eventually I just emailed my professor, my tutors, and also the people that I'm in touch with. And also obviously my friends and my family would know that I would be not be available. And my mom was a little bit scared actually. I have to say that we were not fully offline. We had a generic email address where we could be reached, and when we were also receiving emails, the weather updates, as I was mentioning, but this was not my private email address and also not my phone number. So basically I didn't have any contact other than two emails from my mom and then from my partner.
That was satisfying for her, I can imagine.
Exactly. Yeah. But in sense, I really did like a total digital detox, as you would like to call it. And for me, that was so interesting. First of all, obviously, because I always wanted to try out like how it is to be completely offline for a really, really long time, because I already had some friends who were doing these initiatives that they would be like abandoning their phone for 1 month or something like that. And based on my studies and the pervasive effects of digital communication, such as in social media, also the addictive behavior, especially from younger people, but also then, the responsibilities that you have that come with just answering emails and being available to everyone. Mm-hmm. So I just wanted to try that out. And then I did it. And then afterwards, or during the journey already, I felt like this is not it. Mm. I really felt this is not how it's going to be for the rest of my life, because obviously I enjoyed the time being offline, but also I didn't enjoy it, like communicating to my friends or just saying, hey, I'm well, you know, like what's up, or just sometimes reaching out when I would want to, but not having this completely always like influx of messages and emails.
And having an obligation also to answer to them.
Well, not so much, because I obviously like answering the emails and I like answering my friends, but I feel this is like a subtle underground noise that is always around us, and that's always kind of part of our lives, and it's really, really hard to just switch it off and be in like in total silence.
Yeah.
So I did that, but while doing that, I actually thought like digital detox and all these initiatives that really radically erase everything that you have, I'm not sure if that's really the best approach, because obviously we're human beings, so we would like to communicate, we would like to reach out to our friends, and obviously since we're more globalized, that is even more important to have digital communication, to have like contact, for example, my aunts and my family, they live, like half my family lives in Sardinia, so obviously I would like to know how they are.
Right.
And that's not possible if I don't have any means of digitally communicating.
Yeah.
So my thinking while I was on this boat and while I was offline for 17 days was essentially to say, well, this digital detox is actually not really what we need for our generation, what we need in order to have a really meaningful life with digital technologies, because we cannot just say we erase everything and then it's gone, right? This is not the right approach, at least not to me. And so I was thinking of something more integral and adaptive to our life, basically, because we cannot, as I said, we cannot, I think it's very hard to stop everything that we already use.
Yeah. Also at work, I mean, and also for your studies, like, I think we can definitely downsize on digital, which we will discuss, but it's really hard to just let it go altogether. I think, yeah, for a weekend, just a day, or as you said, like the 17 days, that's just like a one-time trial. And you actually had to, I think you had to like do expectation management saying, guys, I will be offline for a few days, not two, but like maybe 20. So FYI, right? Because otherwise people will not know that. But very interesting. So you say, okay, actually it's too radical. I mean, you could do that for like a one-time period for like a few days, but it's too radical in our normal daily lives because we're always connected. For instance, we have never met each other in person. All our communication has been through email, text, and here on video. So yeah, I think that kind of proves that you don't have to, you need your digital, but you say it's too radical. And then you said, you actually came up with something you call digitalize. What does that entail then?
Exactly. So this was kind of my impression that it was just not possible to completely switch off. But still, my experience was great. Like, I would recommend it to everyone, literally, to have like this moment of complete digital media silence. But basically what I came up with during the trip was this concept of digitalize. And digitalize is not digitalize, obviously, but it's the opposite. So it's to be less involved with digital communication, but not radically detoxing, let's say, digital communication. Yep. But basically just finding the amount of communication in the digital sphere with digital media that is just right for you. And from the very beginning, I thought, well, what's right and what's wrong? Maybe some people need more, maybe some people need less, maybe some people don't need anything. For example, my mom, different generation, right? Completely different case. Mm-hmm. For her, she wanted to, in the beginning, she didn't even want to use WhatsApp. And then suddenly she changed, she started using WhatsApp, and now she cannot live without WhatsApp anymore. So I think there's like a shift happening, and it's also generational, but it's also, you just need to really, I think, know what your needs are and what your expectations are when it comes to digital communication. And I think actually this moment of having less digital communication, let's say, I think started already quite early for me when I was in my semester abroad in London, in the UK. And obviously I had a lot of new contacts, and I had a lot of friends also from Berlin, where I'm from. But at the time, I felt like I had too much of like my messages that I would have to answer on WhatsApp. And I also, obviously, when you don't answer for a week to someone, but you really like this person, then you feel kind of bad, right?
Yeah. And it's stuck in the back of your head as well, right? Because you know you've been too busy, or you're doing different things, and you're like, oh, yeah, shit, I need to answer.
Exactly. Wow. And I think it's like for everyone is like that. Like, we all have this problem because we have so many people that we would like to interact with. And and also, obviously, our friends are important. Maybe they moved away or something. But for me, at one point, I just couldn't anymore. It was just too much for me. So what I actually did was just to delete WhatsApp. And that was quite a radical step. I was thinking, it was like 5 years ago or something. So when like everyone was really on WhatsApp. I mean, today you have alternatives, but at this time it was really the messenger. Oh. And essentially in the beginning I said, well, it's not possible. It's like I cannot install it on my computer or my phone, which is obviously not true. I deleted it on purpose. But at this time it was really not yet a thing to say, well, I don't care so much about WhatsApp. So in the beginning, I kind of disguised what I did. But then in the end, obviously, now I say I don't use WhatsApp also because of the data perspective, because I'm not entirely happy with Facebook's business model and that it captures all my data for their business profit. But that's still another discourse. But what I want to say basically is that I think everyone can, in the end, find its own strategy how to digitalize better. And then I just realized I enjoy much more, for example, talking to a person. Just having a phone call for half an hour makes me so much happier than answering messages to so many people that I also like. But that answering messages for half an hour just makes me more tired, actually. And that I cannot do it every evening, and that I don't even want to do it every evening. So this was maybe a first step from my, to realize I'm not happy with the way that I'm using digital media, although I think I should use it this way.
Right.
And exactly. This is more and more becoming something of a hobby, actually, for me, because I'm seeing so many people that have so many different strategies in order to cope better with this digital, sometimes even called digital overload, but I'm seeing so many people that have different approaches of like managing their well-being in our digital sphere. So for example, one friend of mine, she has this little email signature where she says, I'm managing my emails every day between 4 and 6 p.m. And this is so nice, I think, because it shows, it communicates to someone that is approaching her, well, don't worry if you don't get a reply. I will read these emails in a certain time and then I will get back to you.
That's very clear. Actually, what you're saying there is that, you, of course, it starts with you and your dissatisfaction with the way you're using digital. So you're actually managing expectations towards yourself, saying, I'm only going to be online or checking that email and answering to them between 4 and 6. But you're also managing expectations towards the person that is sending all these messages, saying, I got it, but please just hold on. I think that's very clear. And actually, you just set your own boundaries there in terms of energy and also in time, in terms of focus, right? Do you know how it works for her? Is it like, are the colleagues that email her, for instance, are they okay with that, or is it a problem?
No, I think it's like what she tells me is that it's completely fine and that actually she's able to work more efficiently because she was really switching off her email inbox and she's not receiving any emails during the day, which makes her work more efficient because she can focus on the things that she needs to focus on and really where you really need to get work done. And then in the afternoon, she takes the time and goes through all the emails. And this is so effective because also you read the emails much more attentively.
Yeah.
So you read and then you can immediately reply because there's nothing in between, because this is the time in which you should read emails. I don't know how this could work with WhatsApp or some private communication channels, but I think sometimes, if someone is like on holiday or something, then how could you communicate to the others then that you maybe are not answering today, tomorrow, or whenever? And this is a little bit like this heart versus brain struggle, I think, that you have like in many situations. Like you with your heart, you would really like to answer, but it's just not possible. So your brain has to like scale you a little bit down. And this is really like, a question that is, I think, becoming more and more a topic for people, especially in our age.
Yeah, I think like me, I can relate to the issue of having to answer people, and indeed the email thing as well. I haven't taken any action on it, to be honest, but this inspires me to think about it because I do have some people that are really bad at answering WhatsApp, and they always excuse themselves for saying, oh, I'm so sorry, I'm so bad at answering. And they answer, let's say, in a few hours or maybe 2 days' time. But you know that of them, so I kind of know that it will not answer right away. And if it were to be urgent, which it normally isn't, but if it were to be urgent, I could still call them. And another thing is that I know people on WhatsApp that have like those, you have this description that you could add, right, underneath your name. And I never look at them, but some people actually add it offline from 8 p.m. or I only check WhatsApp once a day. If you really need me and it's urgent, call me. So if you indeed would want to engage with that person, you could still see that and be like, aha, I know that. And I think that's very cool, actually. When I think of digital, everything that I do in my life, I feel that is digital. Like our business is online, our team is remote, we're doing this online. So online is like a really big part of my life. The thing is that you can always choose to use it whenever you want and whenever you don't want it or need it. And especially when we look at work and studies, so we use digital in our private lives all the time for just being in touch with friends, family, making appointments, checking in. But then we also need digital for work and studies. I think that is where the whole problem comes in, where you're like, you're always online and you feel that you're not really literally switching off at night, for instance. I feel that I only have that when I, for instance, go out for dinner with a group of friends and I would be, let's say, there from 6 to 9 or 7 to 10 or something like that. I would not look at my phone or at all, or just once when I go to the bathroom, for instance. And then I would be like, oh yeah, I have a phone. And then I would just check and then see all these messages. That's when I feel that I was finally detached. But normally throughout the day, I think I'm a very intense user of digital. And I do see where you come in with digitalize, where you're just conscious about what you're doing with digital and how it is affecting both you, but maybe also the receiver. Because I can also imagine, that's also something that I read this week in the news, like, or actually I think it was you and me also in this conversation before, that we said, back in the day, you just had your email and your phone for work, and then you would close it down, shut it off at around 5 or 6 p.m. and you would just open it again at, let's say, 8 or 9 in the morning. But now, with like all these different time zones that you can work in and work with, social media that's like for both private and business, you can be always communicating. And when I have something in my head that my team needs to know, even though they might be already asleep in their time zone, I would still send it to them on WhatsApp or on email, which is good for me because it's out of my head, but it's actually not the way you want to be working. So I think this is actually a very serious issue in that sense.
Yeah, it's so interesting because also it's I think COVID, obviously, I have to mention it, did a massive shift in how are we living and not how we digitally living, but how are we living through the digital, right? I mean, all the digital aperitifs that we held and everything that went online, including concerts and everything. Yeah. I think we were really like making 30 steps ahead in how we could basically live in the future. I mean, it could be, right, that we are at one point just working remotely from home and just seeing friends remotely from, yeah, everything mm-hmm. that is basically via digital communication. But I think this is such a nice living lab that we're having, or that we had right now, because it just shows you, wow, do we really want to live like that? Is that really meaningful? Is that really giving me satisfaction if I meet my friends only online? Mm-hmm. And I think most of us have actually seen, like, well, I'm missing a part here. I'm missing going to the office. I'm missing this coffee machine that's maybe broken or something, you know, like something that is like part of this physical life that you can touch, that you can feel, that you can smell, you know. Also dinner, for example, I read studies where people have started cooking, baking, everything online, not online, because it's one of the few things that you cannot do online, right? Like food, you cannot eat online, not possible, not yet, who knows what there will be. Sure. But I think this is so interesting also because I read another report of the European Parliament that actually now works on a digital rights initiative that is called the Right to Disconnect. Oh. So actually what they want to establish, because as you said, right, at one point we just had our phone maybe, but computer, but when we would leave the office, I mean, not we both, but maybe our parents, they would leave the office, they would leave the computer, everything is offline. And you have your life, you have your evening. But now, since the digital media blends everything, you know, your phone is for work, it's for private, it's for everything, right? You need your phone, you're just completely dependent. So it blends all these spheres of life, I feel. And the interesting bit, I think, about it is just that this the European Parliament has actually taken notice of that and said, people need a right to disconnect. They cannot stay online all the time. For example, also the employer cannot ask you to show basically or be available at 9 p.m. in the evening and say, well, you have to have read this email.
Yeah.
No, it's not anymore the case. It's not how we can live. Mm-hmm. And I think also, especially in long-term perspective. So I think so interesting how already the politics in the EU at least react to this. And I don't know what will come out. So it will be really interesting to monitor this further. But I see that there's a huge need for actually giving people more meaningful opportunities to actually say, well, I'm online, no, I'm offline, and that's completely fine. I think in the end, it's really about finding your own balance. I mean, it doesn't need to be that if you're completely happy and you love WhatsApp and you love listening to voice messages all the evenings, then that's completely fine. But it's just that I think everyone needs like a little bit more of like an individual approach to digital media and how we use digital media and how often we use digital media and for what we do use it. Mm-hmm. And so I think this is a long way still to go, because obviously everyone also in the end needs to find out on its own what makes me happy, what makes me unhappy, or which use can I improve, or what can I do more, what can I do less. And I think both for work but also for private life. I think there's still a lot to be learned.
Super interesting, this whole story. And I think that our listeners and watchers will be at least inspired to think about, you know, how can I think about my digital usage during the day, and is it what I want to be using, right? So as you said, it's an individual, or it should be an individual choice. Yet so many people feel the obligation to, as you said, answer emails at night, or answer WhatsApps by colleagues at 9. Sometimes you're stuck in a certain situation where you're really busy, you need to be connected, but you don't always have to be. Is there a way that people that are interested in actually being conscious about their digital can start working on that?
Yeah, so I've also already thought about this and not only lived through it. Yeah. I think first by living through it, I felt that it's actually a topic for many, because when I told people about my experience, they were like, oh yeah, actually this is a thing for me, and I've been thinking about this also. Or actually, when I, in the end, in the evening, answer a lot of WhatsApps, it's like really making me more tired or something like that. Mm-hmm. So first of all, I think for me what was really important to realize, this is actually an issue for me, you know? And I will assume that many of your listeners or your viewers will not have this issue because they're completely fine with how they're using it, or maybe they don't even reflect upon it, because obviously also me, I study digital communication, so I already think about it, but not only think about the phone, but also the bigger infrastructure when it comes about data sharing, for example, risks are involved, and also obviously who benefits, who doesn't benefit from when you use WhatsApp, basically.
Yes.
So I think this is also a huge part for me that I wanted to engage more with, what I also find really important and interesting, and I think what is less spoken about is the concept of data waste. So basically, we're sending so many emails and we're sending so many CCs and doing new Google documents here and new presentations there, and we don't delete them. And this is all data, and data is not nothing. It is something that needs to be stored digitally. It's just, you can imagine, like it's a plastic bag. You just throw it away, but it will not disappear, right?
Yeah.
So that is really interesting as well. And I think that's also one of the main points why I now started cleaning my computer, for example. This is also something that I would want to do more regularly. So at least once a week, cleaning my email inbox and also cleaning my computer. So deleting any files that I really don't need. I don't want to see that. It's embarrassing.
Yeah, same here. But hey, to tap onto what you just said, the data wastage, right? What would be data wastage to you? Would it be something that you use and won't look at again, and that you just need to delete because otherwise you're disorganized? Or is it that you mean that data is still stored and it can still be used, let's say, against you?
It's a mixture of both, actually. Thank you for asking. It's a really good question. I think for me it's a mix. And I think, again, for many people this will be different. People have different motivation to delete or just not delete their stuff. But for me, it's, obviously, if you have more stuff, you have to organize it and you have to make it in a coherent structure that you find everything. Yeah. For example, storing all your photos. Already this is kind of complicated, which folder system you use. Yeah. I mean, I have also many.
Yeah, same for me.
For me, it's not only about the storage, but also, as I said already, about the data waste per se. So when you have something stored in your cloud, for example, it takes a lot of energy to, first of all, have it on your computer. So your computer runs more if you have it has more to store. But then, especially if it's in a cloud and it's not stored on the computer, not stored in the cloud, but it's stored in massive data servers that are running, I think Facebook has most of its data service in the Nordics. I'm sure, I think Iceland or something like that, where it's cool because they consume so much energy that they need to place it in a really cool area to cool it down.
No, it's really
literally that. And also obviously every Facebook post that you do, or every WhatsApp, I'm not sure actually how it works with WhatsApp, but for sure every Facebook post is also contributing to data waste, basically. And if we don't, I mean, it's hard to delete a Facebook post, but the larger concept of just using digital media is also contributing to, in the end, it's contributing to climate change. But this is obviously still a very, very long chain, let's say, that
you need to, but still a very interesting link there.
But it's like that. So I think For me, it's both, that I want to be just more organized and more focused. Yeah. But also that I feel like, yeah, actually, I don't need all these emails from 3 years. So why just I don't delete them and just have a little bit more clarity and structure? And I think if everyone would do that, then we would have less data storage, a lot less data storage on these servers. But it's not to argue for or against it. It's just something that I notice again that makes me more consciously using digital media, and I think this is actually what it's about. Yeah.
Cool. Very interesting.
So yeah, I think this is like you're like proposing ideas which actually make me think of, okay, I should really take action and think of for myself, like, do I want to be always online? Do I want to store my things that I archive, for instance, that I don't look at again? I think you really have a point there.
It's, in the end, it's like with your old clothes, right? Do you keep your clothes from when you were like...
Will you ever wear it again?
Yeah, the question is really, where do they go also? What? Do you have enough space to store them, right? Because at one point you just... Yep. I mean, if you're moving houses or something and you're in a small apartment, you cannot just... Yeah, have them everywhere lying around. So that's kind of the same, actually, yeah.
Okay.
If you're new to this idea of digitalize, right, and you want to get control of your digital usage and storage, where to start? Where to start getting into this process?
Yeah, so where to start? Great question. I think you don't have to go that radical and just delete your WhatsApp as I did.
Okay.
I mean, you can if you would want to, but I wouldn't recommend it because people will probably be quite surprised. Mm-hmm. So I think what would help first, or what helped me also in the beginning, was actually to get more conscious about what makes you happy and what makes you unhappy. So what do you spend your time with and what do you want to spend your time on? So actually maybe writing down some statistics on how many hours or messages you have answered on a daily basis, I think would already be an interesting result to see, wow, today I answered so many chats, or you can, I don't know, pick something that you would like to really track down and then already see how you're scoring basically and how much how much time goes in that, because I think ultimately it's always time that you spend on something, and if you don't spend it on something, you spend it on another thing.
Sure.
So this is an interesting, I think, start to begin with. The other thing obviously that works better for work is just to see how much emails you write and how much time you need to do things. So for me, for example, I now put in an automatic email reminder reply, saying everyone that I'm working on my thesis and that I'm quite busy, and that people can expect an answer by the end of the week, the latest.
Okay.
So that they can just have a more structured approach to when I answer emails, but it's also not time bound. So that I think is also obviously a first step in just trying out a little bit how people react to that, or also how you react to that. Is it helping you? Is it maybe putting you more under stress? You don't even need that because you don't work so much with emails.
Sure.
Obviously also, if you have a lot of meetings, then maybe you can also say, hey, today I would like to just have a phone call, or maybe like face-to-face meetings are better.
Yeah.
So I think there's always something that is obviously very individual, but there's always a space where you can negotiate, where you can say, I do a little bit less of this, I do a little bit more of this. And then, I think there are many, many ways and tools that you can use. Obviously, you can also just count your screen time. But I think for me, that's not the most helpful way, because in the end, what does it say if you have like so many hours?
Yeah, it's going to be much anyway. So what's going to be the impact?
Yeah, no, maybe you were super happy with spending all these hours on the screen because you watch a great documentary. So in the end, not really, I think it's not so giving you so much information if you just have this statistics. I think it's rather really about finding out what you would like to spend more time on and where you can maybe reduce or digitalize.
Yes.
And if not, then that's fine as well, right? If you see, wow, I'm super happy with WhatsApp or with answering messages.
Yeah.
Then maybe you can also just say, well, I'm taking more time on that and just do something else less. So I think it's really an individual approach. But for me, it all started off with actually realizing, well, what makes me happy, what doesn't make me so happy.
And also what makes you stressed, maybe, in a way, because I can imagine if you're busy during the day and you come home from work and you're like, oh, I need to react to a friend, a party, getting a gift for someone, calling my mom. Yeah, I think that can also just give you loads of stress having that obligation to answer. So it could also be that you take away that stress by just saying, I'm not going to answer until that time, or I never answer on Tuesdays or nights. Or so yeah, it's good to maybe be a little bit more selfish in the way you use digital. So consciousness, I think, is step one, as you said, but also just seeing at how you want to use it. And as you said, if you would use it more, then it actually means that you compensate in less time, maybe offline, with, let's say, seeing people or being by yourself or taking a walk in nature. And if you would cut it down, what would you get back from it? Like, is it, what is the benefit of the balance you find in being offline, online? And what would it give you? For instance, what I also can think of is I read this book called Why We Sleep, and it also talks about screen time and just having a screen at nighttime, especially just going to bed. What I started doing, for instance, is wearing like a blue filter glasses. They're like very cheap. You can just buy them online, and it's just to have it on after, let's say, dinner time, maybe from 8 p.m. or something. So your eyes get more tired and get less triggered by the light. So you feel a little bit more tired and not too awake if you still see a screen, let's say from a movie or a documentary that you're watching at night, so you can get to sleep. So you can also think of, how does it affect my health, or the way I think, or the way I feel stressed, or even the way I have my relationships. As you said, like, maybe you want to see your friends more because it gives you quality bonding time rather than just being there and quickly answering, oh yeah, I'm fine, how are you? So I think that's really amazing insights and things to think about.
I think also, like, that you will probably come up with a lot more strategies if you just analyze what you do, what you frequently do, for example. Also related to this initiative from my side of, like, just deleting stuff, there was a time where I just tried out to not make a lot of photos. So basically I tried to, like, take really just one photo of one event, and I think we can all relate to that if we have, like, so many pictures from holiday and we have to sort out everything again afterwards. It gets really time consuming and really annoying at one point, maybe even. So this is also something that you can just try out and just see if it works or if it doesn't work. And I think another thing that really I see a lot is that people obviously use media and, like, digital media communication when they are on public transport, so on the bus or on the train, and people say, I'm just answering my messages now. And I never had time for that because I was mostly always cycling. So it really feel like you are having so much of an input and so much of a, like, digital media routine that you would maybe like to change. And it could be changed a little bit more drastically. You could just also try and go by bike, and then probably you cannot write any messages on your bike, and then find time somewhere else, and then instead have a nice way to your work or to your friends or wherever you want to go. Just by biking, but you being in the Netherlands, I think for you that's evident.
Yeah, indeed. Sometimes we actually walk to work as well, which is like a 20-25 minute walk. And as we walk together, it's not like we're on our phone. Sometimes when it happens, we just need to answer. But I can imagine that if you would be alone, you would either bike or you would walk. I would say you could also think of, maybe you don't want to be digitally engaged, but you could think of, maybe in those 20 minutes that I have, I could also make a call to someone that I haven't talked to for a while. And that makes me more satisfied and fulfilled than just being on my phone, like, oh yeah, text here, text there, scroll here on Facebook. So yeah, again, as you said, like, it's a very individual approach, and just seeing what your routine is and being conscious of that routine, I think that also gives so much insight. And then from there, you could always choose to say, it's fine with me how it works, I'm fine being super connected, or hey, I feel that stress, or I want to change, or I want to try, at least, as you said, just being offline for a day, or just, like, slowing it down and decreasing your digital presence, basically. I think that's an amazing start, and will definitely make you think about how you go about digital.
Yeah, and I think, as you said, like, you completely got it. I think, like, my whole concept of digitalize is really not about completely switching offline. So actually it's the opposite of digital detox, if you want to put it like that. Yeah. Really about finding your own approach. And if you're completely happy and completely satisfied and you say it's actually not related to digital media at all, I just have different issues, or I have different things in life that I would need to resolve now, then obviously this whole topic is like really far away. But I think still we can relate to it all after the latest after COVID.
Really
flooded by digital media use. And then we really, I think also some of us were a little bit lost. Also, I heard your other podcast and Camille.
Camille
spoke about his experience to be at home and actually not having any interaction. And this is, I think, also one of the, if you want to put it like that, like downsides. And I think we might even forget about many, many people who are in the very same situation. And obviously this whole use of digital media doesn't make them much more happy, and probably it's rather the opposite. It's just about finding your own balance, I think, and also, not stressing too much about it. I think that's a really, really important aspect, whether you use it or you don't use it.
Nice. Thank you so much, Rosanna, for sharing all this with us about your experiences and the research and your own digital behavior. And I really hope that people that are watching and listening get much insight from this and be more digitally conscious. At least I will be more conscious after this talk, because you really triggered something here that I think that can be improved. And I think if you make a change and you think about it more deeply, that it will have a long lasting impact on how you go about your day and when to zone off and be more offline, and when to be more online. So thanks again so much for being here and sharing.
Yeah, I'm super, super happy that I could stick around and just share a little bit the impressions that I got. And also feel free to have a look at the links. We will also include some links, I guess. So, and always, obviously, feel free to reach out if you have any questions or just want to get in touch about speaking about digitalizing.
Very much. Thanks again.
Great. Thank you.